Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 2 of our study of the book of James and 1st and 2nd Peter. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Peter 2, 11 through 25. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and just quickly want to mention that we do have a Patreon account if you're interested in supporting the work of the 10-week Bible study. And like Forrest Gump said, that's all I'm going to say about that. All right, would you join me as we pray before we get started today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch our hearts. Fill us with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives amongst the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. That needs a full stop right there. There's a lot in here. Again, Peter is very, very clear, but oh my gosh, he just said so much. First of all, Peter is speaking to literal exiles. You could think of, you know, us being as exiles from our permanent home, heaven, you know, eternity with God. And then in this spiritual sense, we're, you know, we're foreigners and exiles here. But I believe Peter's actually speaking to Jewish people who are foreigners and exiles throughout the Roman world, who are also Christians, and telling them, listen, abstain from sinful desires. he's saying in the Roman world, wherever you are in this diaspora here, live such good lives that, and here's the thing that I just feel so weighty is, says, though they accuse you of doing wrong. He's saying you're living so well, they're accusing you of doing wrong. That is such a poignant thing to say, especially for you and I living in our culture today. Christians, and this is just the craziest turn of events in recent years. For goodness knows how long in this nation, whether it was justified or not at different times. I think at times, depending on who we're talking about, it probably was not justified. But for nearly the entire history of this nation, the United States, Christians, Christianity, but probably more aptly Christians, have been the arbiters of morality. And Christianity, for the most part, guided that morality. There's been lots of times where biblical morality was not the morality that the Christians in charge were pushing necessarily. We're not going to go into all of the details of that, but there are lots of humans that made lots of mistakes. But for the most part, Christianity, or at least some basis in Christianity, has been the litmus test for what's moral and what's not in our country. And for a lot of the West, that's very true. But no more, no more. Morality is now what people want it to be, what they define it to be. And in fact, in just the last several years, this is not a decades long process. This is just the last few years. People are actually calling Christians immoral and evil and wicked for holding to the same biblical standards that they held to for millennia before. And that's what Peter's talking about here. This is so important for us to understand, is though they accuse us of doing wrong, continuing to do right in the midst of our culture will not help us escape being accused of doing wrong or being bigots or hateful when we're not the ones that are circulating the hate. We're the ones circulating life and truth and peace. And they're the ones circulating the hate, but they turn it around on us and accuse us of being the ones who are hateful. That's exactly what Peter's talking about. This is exactly the kind of thing that these Christians were going through back then. And one of the biggest differences if there are really any differences at all, other than the way we look and the technology that we have, is that in many cases in Peter's day, that kind of subtle persecution where you're accused of doing wrong would very quickly turn into actual persecution. In other words, jail time and physical punishment, monetary punishment, and even death. And I want to say words, they may hurt, but they are at best a very subtle persecution. When your stuff and starts getting taken, your family starts getting messed with, and you get thrown in literal jail, or you get drugged through the courts, those kinds of things are actual persecution. And then the worst persecution is torture and death. Those things would all happen in these days, and they still happen around the world today. And a very small number of people in the United States have experienced actual persecution, as in being drugged through the courts and things like that, in our day and age, where they're saying your biblical morality, which was the litmus test for what is moral for ages in our nation, we've turned it on its head, and now we're calling you the bigot, the hate monger, and the immoral person for holding to those same values that just yesterday were the standard, the litmus test for what we called moral. We live in this same exact day. And he's telling us, live such good lives and let our good deeds shine that we'll glorify God when he comes. We're going, if we live that way, we will get accused of doing wrong. We will. In this kind of culture, if things continue going the way that they are, we absolutely will be called the bigots, the hate mongers, immoral. We'll be called all of those things, but continue to be undaunted in the way you speak and live. Now Peter is not saying, hey, get involved in the culture war and get in outraged and mad about every little thing that our culture does. Listen, it's a fool's errand to be constantly outraged and angered by sinful people doing sinful things. There will be no end to that. And what that amounts to a lot of times in our culture is that, yes, Christianity, again, for better or worse at different times, has been the baseline of morality and sensibilities in our nation, and it no longer is. And a lot of the people's outrage and reactions like that is based on, hey, I kind of wanted to go back to the way it was. There was at least some objective reality that we can say, hey, we at least we believe in the Bible, and that's how we think we should treat each other. To some extent, that's the way this nation used to be, and it no longer is. It just, like, look with your eyes, and that's just not how things work anymore. And that happened fast. That happened super fast. Like, I would say in the last 5 to 7 years, and it's accelerating at a remarkable pace. And so a lot of the outrage is just that we feel like we've lost the culture that we had, and we did, but it's gone. And without an amazing revival like the world has never seen, and I pray that we have that, we should be praying for that. But barring that revival, it's going to continue to get worse. And then we will go from soft persecution of words to literal persecution. And we look at the bakers and the florists and people like that who are getting intentionally targeted by a legally minded minority of people pushing their own agendas. They search these people out and they find them as a test case to see how well it's going to go. Those people are experiencing real, actual persecution. But for the most of us, we're experiencing either no persecution or very, very mild word-based persecution, but it will come and it will grow. Verse 13, submit yourselves to the Lord, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. live as God's slave, show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Again, Peter's being super clear here, but he's creating some tension and turmoil within us with what he's saying here. Submit yourself to the, and he's saying, for the Lord's sake, to every human authority. We're talking about emperor all the way down to school board. I mean, he's being very specific here. And we're talking about a day and age where there was an imperial cult that was often officially sanctioned. You know, I mean, think about the Christians who died because they would not give a little pinch of incense to Caesar. And so they were persecuted, tortured, and killed for that. Okay, so we're not talking about submitting yourself in breaking God's law. I mean, Peter is one of the people that stood before the Sanhedrin when and they said, hey, listen, don't speak about the name of Jesus anymore. And Peter and James, everyone else very clearly rebuked them and said, no, we're not going to obey you because it's better to obey God than man. Okay, so we're not talking about, you know, going along with whatever ridiculous laws that says, hey, you've got to you know, teach this or do that that's against our moral, ethical, or religious code. Now, that's not what we're talking about, and Peter does not mean that. We're talking about under, like, normal, everyday minutia, right? Paying taxes, obeying traffic laws, whatever. Whatever. If you think there's wicked people in charge, Peter's saying it doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter. And people, Peter just called them pagans. And he's saying, submit yourself to them. In fact, this is a humility very uncommon amongst the Jewish people of his day. There's Talmudic teachings that say just the opposite of this. That tell you, hey, you're Jews, they're pagans, they're always wrong, no matter how, like, you could kill somebody, and if you're in a pagan court, it doesn't matter, you should be able to get off, because they're pagans. Okay, so this is very antithetical to what the actual Jewish teaching of the day was. And so, you know, we submit ourselves to one another, or to the authorities. And then he concludes by saying, and submit yourself to each other. Love the family of believers, but do honor the emperor. Honor the government that you've been given. Because, you know, that government is there to keep things in order. And if you think your government is bad, just exist in a place where there's no government. Anarchy is always so much worse than bad government. No leadership is far worse than bad leadership, I can assure you. And you've probably seen or experienced a little bit of that yourself in some minor ways as well. Verse 18, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscience of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, it is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, this is a difficult one because a lot of people get upset about the idea of slaves and all that kind of stuff. And you go to the Old Testament, God made it okay for the Israelites to have slaves and all that kind of stuff. And I don't want to get into all the nuance of that. But what Peter is saying is like, hey, if this is the station in life you are right now, which was just a reality for them, listen, bear up under the weight of your situation, right? Don't let it cause you to be bitter and angry and lash out at these people. Peter's basically saying, listen, don't judge non-believers by the standards you have as a believer, because it's not going to work. It doesn't work. Judge them by the standards that you would expect them to act as an unbeliever. They don't share your morality. They don't share your worldview. They don't share any of that kind of stuff. So you can't expect that of them. But if you bear up under it, you have reward for eternity. I mean, that's powerful. And so most of us today, we don't find ourselves in that exact situation, but we can understand it to the lesser extent that we may be in difficult situations we don't want to be in. Okay. Now, I'm not saying people that are involved in human trafficking, let's get them out. Okay. Let's not encourage them right now to bear up under that, because that's just not the reality that we live under. Let's get them out. We don't have, like, all slavery and human trafficking. It's all illegal and under the table right now. So let's shine light on it and bring it out. There is coming a day. There is coming a day. I believe, you know, Revelation speaks of it. And we have more slavery now on planet Earth than we ever have in all of human history. It's all illegal and it's all underground, but there's more slaves today than ever before in human history. So let's bring it to light. But I believe there's coming a day where there will be codified slavery again. I do believe that day is coming, and that presents itself with different challenges. But for today, it's illegal, so let's just shine the light on it and get people out. Verse 22, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Speaking of Jesus, of course. Verse 23, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly, i.e. God. Verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So Peter's just giving some examples of how Jesus led the way in this. Jesus was unjustly treated by wicked men that God put in power, but they were wicked. And he was mistreated and unjustly judged and sentenced to die for it. And he didn't speak against them. There was no lie. There was no, he'd done nothing wrong. So if he suffered that, if the most perfect man in the world suffered that, then we, even though we're believers, we are sinners and we will continue to sin. It's going to happen to us too. It's going to happen to us. And we live in a nation where that has not been true for the most part for a very long time. But we see the tide of the culture changing, and it is most definitely changing against us as believers. True Christians who hold to the biblical standard of morality and ethics are the true enemy of the people today. There are more and more people that are looking to us as the greatest evil on planet Earth. And Peter tells us real clear what to do with that. This is very instructive for us as we see the tides of our culture changing. This is so salient for us today. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.